put on the new man, which God created in... All right, stop and think about this for a moment. God has made for us a new suit. He personally is the tailor. Again, put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. He's commanding us. He says, here, put on this new suit that I've made you. Next up, stop lying. Verse 25, putting away lying, speaking truth with your neighbor. We're of the same family. You don't lie to your neighbor. Speak truth to your neighbor. To say the least, Revelation 21:8 says all liars have their part in the lake of fire, which is the second death. If you are a liar, you'll be barred entry into the kingdom of God. It's a sign you haven't been born again. A true Christian is not a born again liar. You're wearing that old suit again, if that describes you. Put on the new man. It's a new suit that he's made you. God's created it in holiness and true righteousness. Jesus said, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not hold to the truth, for there is no truth in him. For when he lies, he speaks his native language. He is a liar and the father of lies. That's John 8:44. So who's your daddy? Stop lying. That's not you. That's the old you, the old man whom you threw out with all the other rubbish. That's what Paul's instructing us to do. Throw out this old rubbish. Put on the new man. Next up, be not angry. Verse 26. A whole lot of do nots here. Verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Actually, verse 26 and 27 should be read together. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Because by staying angry overnight, you indeed will give place, or better yet, you will give an opportunity for the devil in your life when you go to bed angry about something. Wow, you can hear crickets in here. You see, anger is an absolute fleshly desire, and it'll get you into trouble, which is why watching the news and politics is so dangerous for you. And it doesn't matter who or what you are, Republican or Democrat, right? You're either one of two things. If you watch the news, you're either angry or you're angry. Right? You got Trump derangement syndrome and you hate and you're full with rage. Or you're a good old-fashioned American over here. And you see a guy that running the nuclear department? Have you? Now that personally makes me angry. And you see, Paul warns us that when you're angry, you can't hear from God. And that, you see, that's what whoop, opens up the door and in he comes. Just like that old phrase, a crime of passion. It's the opposite of premeditated. That's when you think it out. A crime of passion, it's just 1 minute of anger comes upon you. You're filled with rage and then the door gets open. In comes the devil, and then he does what he does, just for a minute. And then laughs in your face, and then floats away. And you're left in the dust, in a pile of dung. Paul's warning you, when you get angry, this is what happens. Remember what God told Cain, sin is crouching at your door, its desire is for you. When Satan was done tempting Jesus to sin, the Bible says the devil departed until a more opportune time. And he does the same thing with you and I. He will depart from us until a more opportune time. And that opportune time is when we're angry. How many people commit those crimes too when they're from watching the news and they see all this and they get so filled with rage, and then like you hear them interviewed and they say, I don't know what came over me. It's because they open the door for Satan to come in. Same as Judas did, right? It is the one to whom he dips his bread in there to the dish. And it says, once he did that, the Bible says, then, Luke 22, 3, then Satan entered into Judas. It's the same thing with us. When we get angry for unrighteous reasons, he said, be angry. Jesus was angry. That was righteous anger. Different. You see, Jesus isn't like us. Jesus doesn't have a sin nature. Jesus can't sin when he's angry, but you can. You're not Jesus. When you get angry, you can sin. When he is angry, it's perfect anger. And there's no sin in it. Because he doesn't have a sin nature. All right, next up. Verse 28, do not steal. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that which is good, so that he may have to give to him that needeth. Interesting. The way out here for someone who was a thief. Instead of stealing, use your hands to do good, to work with them. Maybe if you steal, maybe you're a brilliant carpenter or a woodworker or a painter. Use what you were using for evil. Let God turn it around for good. Use your hands to make something good. And give it to him, he says, that needeth. So a lot of people steal. What's the big deal? I watch these videos of people coming up to the door stealing the packages. Have you seen all? That's no hip today, going up to your door and stealing your Christmas presents. And people do it, they just no qualms at all. Again, the word of God. Know ye not the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, or covetous, or drunks, or revilers, or extortioners will enter the kingdom of God. Wow, now not only are there two types of homosexuals in that passage, there's two types of thieves there too. Klepte, the secret thief, and harpax, the open thief or extortioner. So if you find yourself to be a thief, you're on the outside looking in, right alongside the liar and the homosexual. He doesn't want you to stay there. He's prepared for you a new body, a new man. You don't have to do those things that you used to do. You put them off. You put on Christ. You leave your junk behind and go in the other direction. Starts with receiving Jesus Christ. I call on the name of the Lord to be saved. I repent of all of this junk that I've been. Most of us are guilty of a lot of the things we've seen on this list. He sums it up so easy. He says, be zealous and repent. Be zealous, that means hot. Be on fire for God. Be grateful for what he's done for you by dying on the cross, by taking your place and dying for you. Be grateful and go out here. Put on the new man. That is, don't do the things that you used to do. And spend the rest of your few days here on earth serving him. Everybody in for that? I think there's more people in this community that he wants to do this to as well. I want to encourage you, keep on doing what you're doing in this church. Keep these doors open on Saturday. Keep giving loaves of bread to people that don't have. Keep making other people's holidays nicer by good deeds, ministering to the poor. Keep it up, and God will send more. Adrian Rogers used to say, with your faithful, with the light that God gives you, he gives you more light. Next, don't let garbage come out of your mouth. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that means to build people up. Don't cut them down. Then he tells you the reason why. So that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In this verse, we have the command not to talk bad about people, but rather speak edifying words. Build people up so that they might minister grace to those who hear. Boy, so much. Well, the past is the past. We know all the damage that this does to people. When you tell young people, they're not going to amount to anything. This is a chance this morning to make things right with God. Darren told me something this morning that he ended up repenting of something that, you don't mind that I share that, do you? He repented of something he did to his mother 40 years ago. And he repented last week. What is it the Lord's leading you to repent of this morning? We're all guilty. We all fall short of the glory of God. God, the present, the Spirit is present this morning to make everything right. To cleanse you of all unrighteousness and to set you on fire and loose out these doors of forgiven person. What is it the Holy Spirit's showing you this morning? I encourage you, leave it behind. He wants to forgive you and he wants to obliterate, he wants to burn that up. Speak edifying words. Next up, don't make the Holy Spirit cry because of you. Verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Wow, what great stuff in there. Let me ask a question. If you knew your actions caused the Holy Spirit to grieve or mourn, how would that make you feel? After all that God's done for you? Here's one of proof texts. The Holy Spirit is a person. And that person is God. You cannot grieve the wind. You cannot grieve a tree. You cannot grieve an inanimate object. The Holy Spirit is a person. And that person is God. Peter said in Acts chapter 5, lying to the Holy Spirit is lying to God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's God the Spirit. And he's a person. You can't grieve the wind. He's a person. And also this verse says that you are sealed unto a particular day. You've been sealed unto that great day when there's a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. That seal will be opened and you will burst forth and forever be in his presence. Hallelujah. That's good news. What did I break? All right, we'll use this. Hallelujah. Think about that. God's got this signet ring. And you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Takes that ring, puts it in a little wax, comes up to you and goes, wham! And no devil in hell can break that seal off of you. And the real good news is, you can't break it. Otherwise it would have broke. every day of your life. You have been sealed. Just like when the king went to shut the door, he put it in wax and he put his signet ring on. That's what God's done with your soul. You have been sealed until the day all this muck is over. And then you will burst forth out of that. But in the meantime, you've been sealed. And he says he's given you the Spirit as a, as Justin Wilson would say, a guarantee. Greek word arabon. The word in classical Greek means engagement ring. That's pretty doggone cool. You have been sealed by the Spirit of the living God as an engagement ring. That means it's a down payment. Some translations say that. Down payment. Of something far greater to come. It's a down payment. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 1:20, and we are done this morning. He says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen to the glory of God. For he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has sealed us, and he's given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Wow. God says, over you today, I guarantee it. I, Jehovah, guarantee it. That you all will cross this finish line in faith. That I will never leave you and forsake you like he promised. Lo, I am with you always. And he gets that signet ring. Wham! He puts that on there. And you are sealed until the day you break out of this old 98-cent shell. That's my message this morning. This is how Jesus could say, no one can snatch you out of his hands. You, church, have been sealed. And this is another item in your spiritual bank account that we've looked at here in the book of Ephesians. You're sealed by God's very own signet ring, the Holy Spirit. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Shepherds and fields they lay in.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.
Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing.
Oh,
and heaven and nature sing.
Oh, and heaven and sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ.
While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains,
repeat the sounding joy.
Oh,
repeat
the sounding joy.
Oh, repeat, repeat the sounding joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive our King.
Oh, let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing.
Oh,
and heaven and nature sing.
Oh, and heaven and heaven, heaven and nature
sing.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA. Cocoa Beach and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Enough to make a difference here. It's all too clear.
With good news for today from Baptist Press, I'm Brandon Porter. About one-fourth of nearly 200 nations studied by the Pew Research Center used force to prevent religious gatherings during the COVID pandemic. A newly released Pew study of restrictions on religion around the world examined 198 countries and territories. Authorities in 46 of those areas, that's about 23%, used physical means, including assault, detention, property damage or confiscation, displacement or death, to enforce pandemic-related restrictions on worship services and other religious gatherings. The total does not include countries that use less stringent means of enforcement, such as fines for violations. Authorities in at least 11 countries physically assaulted individuals who gathered for worship. A crisis pregnancy care center in Washington is reconsidering its admission policy after a group who registered as church members erupted in profanity-laced outburst at a fundraising dinner on December 1st. A handful of protesters arose individually at the event at various times, yelling profane statements accusing the center of mistreating women and other misdeeds. Security forcibly escorted the protesters from the event, and no injuries were reported. The event was able to continue once the protesters were removed.
Good news for today is made possible through our friends at the Voice of the Martyrs, a nonprofit organization that serves persecuted Christians around the world. Founded in 1967 by Richard and Sabina Wormbrand, VOM is dedicated to inspiring believers to deepen their commitment to Christ and to fulfill His great commission, no matter the cost. Find out more and sign up for their free monthly magazine at vom.org/goodnews.
An International Mission Board release says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them, and it was good until it wasn't. Since those fateful moments in the garden, creation has suffered the consequences of sin, while humanity has perished, living a hope-derived life far from God. But God in His grace made redemption possible through Jesus Christ, and through His gospel we declare that the lost are found, the dead are brought to life, and hope is renewed. In Revelation 7:9, we see the victorious culmination to the grand narrative that transcends this earth, and we rest in the certainty that God is making this vision come to pass. But today, somewhere between the Great Commission and the Great Multitude, we find ourselves facing the greatest problem in the world, lostness. The IMB is working to take gospel access to every geographic area and every social group. You can learn more at imb.org. Thanks for listening to Good News for Today. Visit us at BaptistPress.com.